This is In Focus, the weekly public affairs program from KTBB and the Team Sports Radio, featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of In Focus, heard weekends on KTBB 97.5 FM and KRWR, the Team 92.1 FM. I'm Lonnie Johnson. I'm here every week with you, interviewing people that make our lives better. And as always, feel free to reach out with your thoughts on the show or any topic you would like us to consider. You can reach out to us at ktbb.com/infocus. My guest today, Luke Alfaro.
That's it.
Correct? Did
yes,
I nail sir. It?
That's it.
Luke, you are with the Urban Forestry Department on the city of Tyler. Welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you for having me. I'm part of the Parks and Rec Department. Okay. But it's just, as of right now, it's kind of a one-man crew. It's just myself in the Urban Forestry Department. I do have some help, of course, if I need it. But as of right now, it's just me. So.
Well, always make the joke, the old Lombardi joke, this is a football. What is urban forestry?
So urban forestry, my title is urban forester and arborist. So the difference is urban forestry is kind of looking at the city as a whole, the trees as a whole, and how can we manage the city to be successful and have a good urban forest. And then an arborist is more of individual, right? I'm going out of to a tree, looking at what's wrong with it, looking at the roots, the trunk, the leaves, the branches. So I kind of do both, but as an urban forester, my job is kind of to make sure that the city has a current plan going forward to what the urban forest is going to be like and how we can care for it and maintain it.
Fantastic. A great place to start. So as we said, we are sitting on the loop. We are sitting on the south side of the loop right now at Copeland Road. And as we look north, all the way to North Tyler, all the way to MLK, let's say, mm-hmm. Boulevard. Those neighborhoods are almost 100 years old. Green Acres is probably 70 years old now, that neighborhood there, somewhere around there. But further north you go, the older it gets. Mm-hmm. That from what I've done, what I found out, the average life of an oak tree, a nice water oak or a pin oak, is around 100 years. Mm-hmm. So that means there's going to be a lot of dying trees in this neighborhood, either through storms or natural old death. Does Tyler have a plan to keep that neighborhood as beautiful as it was and could be?
Well, I think going off your point about oaks, water oaks are one of the trees that I see the most around here. They're probably one of the fastest growing oaks, and that's probably why they were planted as much. But they also tend to not live as long. Their average lifespan is somewhere, 50 to 60 years, maybe a little bit longer, just depending how well it's taken care of, the soils and everything else like that. But there are oaks that live way, way longer than water oaks. But it seems as if a long time ago, a lot of water oaks were planted. And that doesn't mean that they're bad trees, but that just means that if you have a lot of the same trees, they're all going to go out around the same time from maybe the same factors, whether it was insects, disease, or you know, a windstorm that comes through, right? They're all kind of growing very similar. And so, one important part of urban forestry is having a diverse mix of tree species, oaks, pines, different hardwoods. And so if something were to come through, it's not able to take out kind of everything, right? It can take out a couple trees here, but you still have a forest left. And so, you definitely bring up a really good point that these trees have kind of
aged out.
Yeah, they've aged out. They've been hit hard in the last couple of years. I started here about a year ago, and I've seen a lot go, and it's a lot of them. It's just their time. You know, they're starting to go into a stage called retrenchment. That's where the tree actually kind of shortens itself. The top starts to die out, and the trees kind of shorten in stature. And that's more of just it's older tree. It's trying to kind of shorten up, get a little bit smaller, so it can take care of itself. But a lot of these trees have been impacted by development, by sidewalks, by roads, by improper pruning. Just a lot of different factors have really impacted these trees, and so trees like water oaks, for some reason in urban environments, they just don't seem to do as well as they would out, you know, in the forest. And I guess that would be any tree.
Yeah, I've heard that what we do with our lawns is actually counterproductive to a tree, because you never see a perfect Bermuda or St. Augustine lawn in a forest.
Yeah, no, you don't. And the lawns, you know, although they do look good, and I think there's a balance that you can have, because nobody wants just a yard full of mulch. You know, the grass kind of takes a lot of water, right? When you water your lawn, the grass is sucking up a lot of that water. And then, you know, you have people who can come around with lawnmowers and kind of nick the trees with weed eaters, and the decks of the mower can nick the tree. And so it's recommended that every tree has a mulch ring around it. The ideal amount is out to the drip line of the tree, the very furthest branch, which is huge.
That's huge.
That's huge. So obviously that's not realistic. Some people, that would be their whole yard and going into
that's
the street.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
So not really feasible. But even just having a 5-foot mulch barrier would be greatly beneficial to the trees, because it does a couple things. Number one, the mulch has the ability to protect it from temperature swings. So when it gets cold, the mulch acts as an insulating layer, keeps those roots warmer than it is outside. And then also during the summer, it kind of cools it off. It provides a layer of cooling during the summer. And so that it does that. And then it also returns the nutrients. So that mulch starts to break down, returns, all those types of nutrients back to the soil. The mulch can soak up some water, hold some water in there and feed those roots for some time. Grass is it's kind of a battle. Everybody wants grass, and I understand why. It looks great. And I get a lot of calls, and even family members are like, I want the grass to grow under my trees. And it's kind of hard to balance the two. You know, if you have a large tree that provides a lot of shade and drops acorns and leaves, it's going to be hard to get grass to grow directly under that just because of what's going on above it. So
I've noticed after these storms, I think we've lost more trees in the last 5 years than we have in the last 25 years. I mean, it's been devastating. The windstorm of a couple years ago, this most recent windstorm, I mean, I think there were almost 30 structures totaled in my neighborhood, 100 homes affected by it. And I noticed when these trees are being removed, there's reasons why there are 30-foot stumps left.
Right.
Okay. I understand almost all of them are economic reasons. Because if you have to have a 100-plus, mine was 130 feet, you have to have that tree removed, it's about $5,000 to the ground. To have it stumped, I think, is maybe $2,000 or $3,000.
Right.
Okay. So you're talking about another $2,000 to remove a 30-foot stump, which a lot of people in the older neighborhoods been here a long time. A lot of them are on fixed income. Some of them have inherited their homes and, you know, just don't have the discretionary income to have this done because it's not covered by insurance. What are the dangers? Obviously, it's ugly, but we can't help that. And I'm actually going to try and in the future try and start something here to positively affect that. I want to talk to you about after the show. But in the short term, what are the dangers of me leaving a 30-foot stump 20 feet from my house?
Right. So having these what we call snags in your yard, you know, anytime you have a dead tree, the tissue is not alive. So, you know, woodpeckers can get in there, and anytime you have any type of openings, it's going to start to rot. How fast that happens just depends on how solid the tree was. But these trees can actually stand for a long time.
I think stand for, I've seen them forever.
Right. Yeah. They can stand for a long time. And what I noticed was interesting when I was driving around Tyler, driving around the parks and cemeteries, you know, we have some snags that we need to get removed, or I've seen some on people's lawns, and you would think that those would be the first trees to go during a 70-mile-an-hour storm like we had 2 weeks ago. But actually, they're almost like a pencil. You know, they have very little wind resistance, and so the wind kind of cuts through them. And that doesn't mean that, you know, they're not a danger, because anytime you have something that's, you know, rotting and the wood is not solid like it would be if it was alive.
Clearly, they're not as dangerous as a full alive tree falling on
home. I guess it really just depends. But you know, they definitely have a danger to them. I mean, anytime you have a tree that's dead, you know, you don't know how hollow it could be on the inside and what that outer layer, the sapwood of the wood of the tree looks like. And so there's definitely a possibility of those trees falling. And so, you know, if the tree's dead, I mean, it's really best to get it removed. But like you said, you know, it can be costly. I know in Tyler, there's a lot of tree services, which is a good thing, you know.
Tree services and roofers.
Yeah. Right, and, now, you know, it can provide people with opportunity to get a lot of different prices. But, you know, you have to kind of look out and make sure that you get someone who can do a good job and protect your property and stuff like that. So
when the city of Tyler removes a tree, I live close to Bergfeld. So mm-hmm. I noticed we had, I think, three or four in that Bergfeld Park fall. And you guys came and you take them all the way to the ground and cut up the stump, right? Mm-hmm. There are no snags left by the city.
No. So a couple years back, our previous arborist, she implemented a program called a wildlife tree program. I think that's what it was called. And essentially what it is, these snags, if you can determine that they're very low risk, right, in the middle of a, you know, a grassy field, very low use area, if it were to fall, likely not going to fall on anything or anyone. These trees can actually be left, and worms and insects like to nest in there, and it provides a kind of a food source and also cavities for woodpeckers. So it can be beneficial for wildlife, for birds, for nesting birds, and for also, you know, squirrels and different types of things to come in there and eat the bugs and stuff like that. So there can be a use for them, but, you know, they're here and there.
They're ugly and dangerous in an urban setting.
Yeah, they can.
You know,
be.
On a ranch, 100%. It's great. I mean, like you said, and I'm great for the food source for the insects. It makes fantastic sense. Mm-hmm. But you know, the thing I wonder is, do we need to start the process now of planting new trees for these neighborhoods? And is the city looking at any incentive to maybe help some of the older parts of the city establish new growth?
Yeah, so you're definitely right. You know, we need to be replacing the trees that are aging out, that are dying, that are falling. If we want Tyler to continue to be the way it has been for, you know, ever since you've lived here, that's why a lot of people move here, is because of the trees, because of the shade, just because of the benefits, privacy of them. And so, you know, we do need to start replanting trees. As of right now, you know, there's really not much of a program as a we'll go out and plant a tree on your yard for a certain amount of fee. But every year we have a seedling giveaway, and we give out around 2,000 seedlings to anybody. So you can come up and get, you know, 5 or 10 seedlings, and they're pretty small. They're maybe 2 or 3 foot, and those you can either put them in a pot and let them grow for a couple of years to get established, or you can stick them right in the ground if you want to. And so that's one program that we have to get trees out to people, and we try and select good species for people as well. But additionally, we have Arbor Day every year, and we plant anywhere from 60 to 100 trees on our parks, and we get volunteers, anywhere from 100 to 150 volunteers that come out and learn how to plant trees. And so that's another big thing is teaching everybody how to properly plant a tree, because
it's a process.
It's a process, yeah. Actually, you know, you think it'd be simple, like planting a flower, but there's a little bit more to it. And if you plant it too deep or too shallow, or you plant it at an angle, or you dig too deep and put soil in, it'll sink. There's a lot that goes into it, and if it's done incorrectly from the beginning, it can have pretty major effects later on in the life of the tree. So there's no really program right now as far as replanting, but you know, we're trying to educate everyone on how to plant and why we should be replanting. And I understand if people right now, you know, there's so many trees that we saw in houses and cars and over the streets and power lines that it can be like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know if you want a tree.
Yeah.
You know, that, and that. So now I want to just go directly to, you mentioned the species of trees. Mm-hmm. So if I'm not wrong, live oaks are not indigenous to this area, correct?
Live oaks are native.
Are?
Live oaks are native. Live oaks are great trees, but you know, they produce a lot of acorns. They're very widespreading, and they're not great for every property.
Okay. Let's talk about the trees. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Let's talk about the trees that are, the mm-hmm. trees and shrubs. What do we need to be planting to ensure longevity, hardy, and beauty.
So in almost every oaks, hardwoods, all different types of trees, you could find anything that should be able to match your needs. Oaks are great trees. I like to plant native because you know that those trees do well here. They've done well for a long time, and they will continue to do well. And so a couple things that I'll talk about is right tree, right place. And what is more important than the species is picking the right size, the right type of tree for the location. There's a lot of small yards in Tyler, and we have to be careful not to plant trees that will be, you know, 70, 80 foot in maturity, and which could become an issue. They could grow into power lines. They could grow into your house. They could grow over your garage or anything like that. So, you know, number one is trying to figure out where you're going to plant this tree and what's around it. Okay. Is there sidewalks? Is there streets? How close do you want it to be to your house? Is there power lines? Because if you plant under power line, it's going to be cut off under that power line, so it doesn't, you know, interfere with the power line.
Not to mention, don't the power lines, they seem to affect the growth of the tree. You know, I mean, without respect to the trimming, which obviously gets trimmed, whether you go out where the power towers are out, you know, outside of town where they have big paths where the power lines go.
Right.
And you can see the trees, literally. But they almost, like, if they're not trimmed, they grow halfway, you know, where there's not power.
Yeah, I don't really know if, like, there's any direct effects from, like, the power itself. But I know, you know, the electric companies, they take it very seriously to make sure that the power lines are clear. And
yeah, Encore will butcher your trees for you. You can either get an arborist to come out there and do it the right way, or if you don't and you wait too long, I assure you, Encore is going to come out with a really big misplaced chainsaw and give you the ugliest tree on the block with no problem, because it just keeps power on.
Well, part of it is the wrong tree in the wrong place. I see it a lot is there's trees that get to 60, 70 foot in maturity and height, and the power lines are only, what, 40 foot. And so that tree has been just set up for failure, right? Eventually that tree is going to have to be trimmed around that power line. And as unfortunate as it is, if you're going to plant under power line, it should be something small in maturity that only gets 20 to 30 foot, maybe like a redbud or a dogwood or just something small, because, you know, partly it's part of the fault of whoever planted that tree as to why it's being pruned that way, because it's, you know, the power line was probably there before the tree was.
In most cases, yeah, that's interesting. In my neighborhood, I see a lot of trees, looks like they planted where the acorn fell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Pretty much they just didn't. That was one tree they didn't decide to mow over.
Yeah, and that could be the case, that there was just a natural tree there. Power line was built, and you know, it's, as unfortunate as it is, you know, I guess the power has to be there, and it's just important from, you know, here on out, as we start to plant trees and replace the trees, that we're looking at the size of the trees, we're looking at the spread of them. You know, you look at, what does it produce? Acorns? Does it produce fruits? Is it going to be near a sidewalk where you don't want a tripping hazard from, you know, the acorns? You know, some of the acorns can be, you know, 2 to 3 inches big, so they can get pretty large. And so right tree, right place is very, very important, making sure that we just select the correct sized, correct type of tree for the location. And planting native is also really good.
Well, you were going to give some examples of native, like not exactly what to plant where, because you said best tree, best location. Mm-hmm. So right tree, right location. But some of the species.
Yeah, there's shrubs and trees. Shumard oaks are really good trees.
What kind?
Shumard, Shumard. Even pines can be good in locations. You know, I think we still need to have diversity. Eastern red cedars are good trees. They're native. I'm trying to think.
Cedar trees are native to this area?
Mm-hmm. Eastern red cedar.
Okay.
Yes, sir. There's dogwoods, redbuds, which are both small in maturity. You have tulip poplars or yellow poplars. Tulip trees are really good. There's so many. There's just so many trees that are really good.
Are magnolias strong, resilient trees? trees here?
Magnolias are good trees. You know, they can be a little bit of an issue in a yard because they provide so much shade and the leaves are so thick and they have them all year that growing grass under magnolias is very, very hard. And so if you want a magnolia, I think they're beautiful trees. I think they're great trees. And I think you just have to accept that you may want to just put a mulch ring around it instead of trying to fight the battle of why don't I have grass? Because they do provide a lot of shade, but they're great trees.
Fantastic. So those are some list of trees that would be good for planting. I want to go ahead and give out the number if somebody needs to call the Urban Forestry Department. It's 903-531-1370. That's 903-531-1370. 1370. And so I'm not necessarily seeing the same kind of tree loss south as I am north. Mm-hmm. Is it just simply because of the age of the trees?
I think so. Like I said, there's a lot of water oaks, and water oaks are just kind of on the shorter end of oaks. You know, they don't live as long as, you know, live oaks or certain other oaks. And so we're seeing them all kind of age out at the same time, which is an issue. And additionally, I think, you know, the southern part of Tyler is just a little bit newer. So a lot of the trees are just younger.
See, I'm more live oak south than I do, which I think is, you know, once they started planting trees and subdivisions, we went through a period where they just basically plowed everything down and put Bradford pears in the front yard in each house and moved on. But gosh, I think it's been 20 years now that the contractors, developers have started to see more beauty. You know, the neighborhood by Fresh, you know, as an example of leaving some trees, you know, when you clear stuff, you clear areas. But I noticed that the south seems to survive better than the north.
Yeah, I'm not sure as to why that would be. I mean, I think partly of it is just that a lot of the trees are just younger, and there's maybe the yards are a little bit bigger. They have a little bit more area to root. I'm not sure what the reasoning for that. But I can tell you with the storm, you know, I drove all around Tyler, northeast, southwest, and I saw, you know, damage pretty much everywhere.
Have you guys figured out what happened yet?
Yeah.
I mean, because all I know is that I heard sirens, tornado sirens, and then the one guy I count on more than anything for the weather, Mark Skirto, said, don't pay attention to that alarm. There's no tornado in Tyler, as you were. And then the next thing I know, it's pitch black. I go to open my door, almost get sucked out of my house, but there's no tornado around, and all the trees fell in different directions.
Right.
What happened?
So I'm no meteorologist, but I know that we got a lot of rain the last, you know, last week, but the weeks before that, I mean, we were getting rain, it seems like twice a week, and a lot of it, several inches, it seems like every time it rained. And so, number one, the soils were really, really saturated. The second issue is I was doing some research, and the most common winds we get here are from the south or the east or somewhere in between. And the trees, you know, they're living organisms. They have an ability to respond to that constant wind. Now, it's going to be over several years. It's not going to be overnight that they can, you know, adapt to that, but they can put more wood on one side of the tree. They can put more roots on in one side of the tree. And so if they are continually getting this direction of wind, they can adapt to that to where they're more likely to withstand wind from that direction. And so the wind that we got was, I think it got up to like 70 miles an hour, 60 or 70 miles an hour out of the northeast. So you're talking about a completely different wind direction, super high winds with very saturated soils. It just pulled them out of the ground.
They're so top heavy.
Yeah. And what you're going to see is if we didn't have the rain like we had, but if we had the high winds, you would see more trees snapped in half. And I hardly saw any trees snapped in half. I saw a couple.
Maybe 1-2%.
But I would say almost majority of the trees I saw were uprooted. And that's just, I think it's because of the soil saturation as well as the wind speed.
Which brings me to my boneless chicken question of the week.
Okay.
If we had all this weather, all this rain, buckets and buckets of rain. I think we had 20 inches already this year, right? As of the last time it rained. Mm-hmm. It came up to 20 inches as of the first week of June or before. The soil's dry right now. What the hell?
Yeah.
I do not understand. Please make this make sense to me.
Well, I only took one soils class in college, so I'm no expert on soils.
Makes
but
you twice as intelligent on the topic as me.
There's all different types of soils, from clay to sand to loam, all different types. And there's types that shrink and swell. And so when it rains, it kind of swells. And when it dries, it shrinks up and cracks and looks like we haven't got rain in 2 months. I think it just depends on the soil type, and it depends on how.
Well, you've noticed it. We talked about it before. Yeah. That, I mean, I realized, and you have, you know, you have a job and you have a responsibility. You can't just put crazy stuff out there. But that's insane, and I don't remember that 10 years ago. It seemed like the land held water better. I don't know what could change like it. In my area and all this area, like from actually on the loop near Tyler Ford, there's huge sand dunes. Mm-hmm. And my soil is a composition of like loam, sand, and clay. Mm-hmm. You know, basically different clay at the bottom of the hill, sand at the top of the hill.
Yeah.
But I can't remember having this much water and 2 weeks later really needing to water. Like the grass is looking like it needs water mm-hmm. already. And patches, which means that there's an intense force behind that, right?
Yeah. I don't know if I can explain it. I mean, I really don't know as to why, like, if you've noticed a change over the time here, I'm not really sure. I mean, I just know that a lot of soils just do that. They shrink and swell as they get rain, and then they dry out really quick. And it can depend on kind of what the is below the top layers of the soil as to how well it you know, permeates down. But
does humidity affect the dryness of the soil? Does it dry out more quickly if there's mm-hmm. less humidity? Because we've got plenty of humidity.
Yeah, we do have plenty of that. I don't know if that has a super big impact on it, but I would think it does a little bit. But don't quote me on that one. I'm not sure.
Well, I'm just ready to figure all this out. I really am. I'm worried for our trees in our neighborhood, because again, mm-hmm. that's what makes our neighborhood is the old structure. You can't rebuild this stuff. You can't replace a 100-year-old tree.
Of course not.
But it looks like we're going to be forced to come up with some kind of plan mm-hmm. for the northern part of the city.
I definitely agree.
How far south does Tyler go?
I mean, it goes
to
all the way
49, something like that.
Toll 49 is the southern city limit.
So yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and just say, let's say the north hemisphere of Tyler is the one we're really worried about.
Yeah, it is definitely the older part of Tyler, you know, and so I think the trees are just starting to age out. And, you know, number one, I think the ones that we have, we need to take really good care of, making sure that they're not being damaged. That
what can the homeowners do to preventatively, like a 100-year-old tree is a 100-year-old tree, mm-hmm. but preventatively, how far back can you prune them? What's safe?
There's a balance in pruning, and you definitely don't want to prune too much, because the leaves are what feeds the trees, and these older trees, you know, they need everything that they can get, and so you definitely don't want to remove too much. And anytime you can trim off a little here and there, but if you remove too many branches or too many leaves, it can actually affect the structure of the tree, the structure of the branches, and it can cause branches to actually be more likely to break. If there's a type of pruning called lion tailing, which is not a good type of pruning. It's where essentially it looks like a lion's tail. The trunk of the branch is essentially bare, and the end of it has like a little poof of leaves. It looks like a lion tail.
Oh, okay.
And it puts a lot of weight on the end of the branch, mm-hmm. and there's no weight on the inside of the branch. And this can cause it to break in a storm. And there's another type of bad pruning would be like topping a tree, just completely cutting off the top of the tree. You see it a lot with crepe myrtles and even Bradford pears. And it's just not good.
Are we done planting Bradford pears?
I hope so. We don't plant any on our parks. And that's another thing I wanted to bring up, if you don't mind.
No.
You know, just because certain trees are sold in the area, maybe at, you know, big box stores or even nurseries, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're great for growing here. And so I think as someone who's planting a tree, you really have to look at what kind of tree you're getting, do some research on it, or call an arborist, call myself and say, hey, is this a good tree? And see how well it does here. Because a lot of issues I see is trees that will do great in our summers. They can withstand the heat. But if, you know, if we get 5-degree weather and it's like that for 2 days, those trees are really going to suffer. All the branches on the end may die out. So, you know, just I would say don't assume just because it's at a store nearby that it is 100%, you know, meant to grow here or will do well.
That's good advice, Luca Faro. I appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for your time. I hope you have a great weekend.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
In Focus is a weekly public affairs program featuring members of the local community working to make East Texas a better place. In Focus is produced by KTBB and the Team Sports Radio. And we thank you for listening. Join us again next week.